on the front row.
All right, we welcome you all to school board meeting here at Santa Fe Junior High on, oh, you gotta have that on, huh? Here we are, school board meeting at Santa Fe Junior High on January 13th, 2016, we're starting at 7 PM on the dot. Thank you all for coming. We will start off first with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, is Amanda Holly here? There she is, thank you. Okay, we have a presentation by Amanda for us today, so.
Yes, we are so excited. Many of you probably do not know me. I am Amanda Holly, or my married name is Pies, but nobody knows me by that, so. I am Amanda Pies with AJB Broadcasting's KUSA and KSLL. And tonight I bring you our first presentation in Emory County of Apples for Teachers. So has anybody heard of this program before?
Mm-hmm.
Used to do it with us a long time ago, and then kind of went away.
I was going to say, I don't know what happened, but this year we were very anxious to bring it back to Emory County, and grateful. We all know what a wonderful job our teachers, staff, faculty do in our community, and quite honestly, they're the foundation, the building blocks, educating our future. So it is our honor to be here this evening, and I would like to thank all of you and everybody in attendance for welcoming us with open arms. One thing with the Apples for Teachers program is, that is so important, we cannot recognize your educators unless they are nominated. So if you guys can help us spread the word throughout your schools, we plan to be here every month at the school board meeting. All you need to do to nominate a teacher is send a nomination to kusabuzz@gmail.com. Now, if for some reason you don't want to email it, that's okay. You can give us a call at the station, and it's 637-1080. On average, we receive 15 to 30 nominations a month. So I would love to start seeing that from our Emory County School District. So if you guys can help us, what we do is what you'll see here in just a few minutes. And then at the end of the year, what we have worked out is that one educator from Carbon County and one educator from Emory County will receive a brand new Apple iPad. Hopefully to help them in their studies, or hey, if they get any personal time, I hope they use it for some of that as well. We also recognize the students who step up and say, you know, our educator, my teacher is doing a wonderful job, has helped me in advance in certain areas. So we also recognize every month the student who stepped forward to nominate their teacher. And at the end of the school year, whatever teacher does win, the nominating student also gets a $100 Visa gift card. So we like to, you know, make sure that everybody's recognized. So anybody who's nominated this school year, including the teachers as well as the students, has a chance to win something great because we want to give back. So we actually do have a teacher this evening, and we do have sponsors. If it's okay, I would like to mention them so that you guys know who has been supporting this program in our community. We, of course, have Emory Telecom standing first and foremost, Rocky Mountain Power, Dr. David Bradshaw, OBGYN, Pierce Oil, and then Made For You and Forsyth Fire, as well as Dr. Matthew Brady have teamed up with us for the 2015-2016 school year. So we would like to thank them for helping make this program possible. And, of course, we cannot forget Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory and Cold Stone Creamery, because they are always really great to provide us with apples. So without further ado, I don't want to be too long-winded, everybody. If I could get Braylee Conover up here, I am so glad that she was able to make it. So does everybody know Braylee? This is my first time meeting Braylee. Braylee and Amanda, it's nice to meet you, sweetheart. Thank you for nominating your teacher. So what grade are you in, Braylee? Fifth grade? Okay. And Braylee wanted to nominate a teacher. So, Braylee, can you tell everybody what teacher you nominated?
Miss Carter.
That would be correct. So, Miss Carter is here now. Before we call Ms. Carter up, can you tell everybody why you nominated her to win an Apples for Teachers award? There, I'm going to help you out. Do you want to read that portion to everybody? Just right there.
Ms. Carter is awesome.
That is a great excuse. Okay. So I'm going to just read this portion really quick before we call Ms. Carter up. So it looks like Braylee's mom helped her nominate. And Tiffany said, Mrs. Carter has a very unique personality and is able to reach students and motivate them to learn. She instills a love of learning in them. She creates a very productive learning environment in her classroom. Mrs. Carter is very kind-hearted, and her students look forward to being with her every day. She goes the extra mile to meet her students' needs. Braylee says that Mrs. Carter is so awesome, as was paraphrased for you just a few moments ago. And now that Braylee is no longer in Mrs. Carter's class, she still enjoys stopping in and visiting with her after school or when she is on recess duty. So, Braylee, thank you so much for nominating. And without further ado, can we please have Mrs. Jody Carter come up right now? Give her a round of applause, everybody. All right, so on behalf of all of our sponsors and everybody with KUSA in the Castle, as well as Braylee, here's your Apples for Teachers Award. We want to congratulate you. Thank you so much for everything that you do for our students.
Don't move.
Sorry.
She's also a journalist.
We'll just
get off.
Everyone,
all right. Fantastic. Well deserved.
Yes, thank you so much, you guys. And don't go away because we have something sweet. What teacher doesn't love an apple? Thank you. And one time. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you guys. Really, seriously, it's a great honor to have you guys as our educators. So, and that pretty much wraps up our presentation. Do you guys have any questions for us, concerns? We just really want to encourage you guys to encourage your students to nominate those teachers who are working so hard 24/7, 365. I don't even know if you guys get a day off, quite honestly. So, but thank you all. We really appreciate you accepting us and allowing us to present these awards once again to Emory County.
Thank you for thinking
thank
of our
you.
Teachers
thank you.
In our district.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
Jody.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
She's not listening, but
month.
That's okay.
Yes, we will see you next month.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Said congratulations.
Yes, congratulations,
Jody. Congratulations, okay. Jody. You deserve it.
Thank you, guys. Everybody have a great night.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. See you, Amanda. All right. Again, congratulations, Jody, and we'll continue on. We'll look forward to this. Hopefully, tell your friends to nominate other teachers who are deserving. All right, we'll move to the consent agenda with warrants and minutes. No.
Okay.
That's been scratched.
Okay.
So we'll move on to the consent agenda. We need an action to approve the warrants and minutes and financial reports for the past month, December.
I'll make that motion.
There was one change in the minutes.
Oh, well,
okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
I missed it.
What
you
was
missed it?
It.
Mm-hmm.
It says Nanette Tanner voted.
Oh.
Oh.
She
okay.
didn't.
Was it in last month's too?
Yes.
Oh, I knew it was in November, so I didn't
oh,
know.
Oh, I didn't see November.
Yeah, it was in November.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I guess we change that then?
Yeah, in the copy I have for you.
Oh, okay.
With
okay.
that change, I move that we approve them.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
He knows who you are, Julia. It's cut and paste.
I know.
Yeah,
I
cut and paste. That's what
time.
I figured. All right. Personnel actions. That's Superintendent Citrus?
Yes. I had several names. A few have been added since we sent you the packet that you have. I'd like to recommend to the board that James Skinner be approved as full-time custodian at Emory High School. This is to replace Joanne Farr, who retired. Christy Guyman, half-time custodian, Emory High School. And that's not to be confused with Christy Guyman, who teaches math for us.
I was going to say that.
That's KRSD White.
Chris Justice as the head coach basketball at Canyon View Junior High, and Davey Justice as assistant boys basketball at Canyon View. John or Johnny, whichever you want to call him, Nielsen coaches the girls basketball, but has, wants approved Courtney Justice and Brandy Truman as assistant girls basketball coaches. I would recommend the board approve those coaches.
Is there a motion?
I would make a motion that we approve them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Doesn't sound like it. Okay. All right, the request for unpaid leave. Superintendent, is that you still?
Jared's gonna handle that.
Okay.
Okay, so we do have an employee in the school district who has requested leave for medical purposes and is borderline with qualifying hours for FMLA. So we've brought that here as a request for unpaid leave. The request would be for 12 weeks of unpaid leave, which is the maximum allowed by the Family Medical Leave Act. And I gave you a few more particulars than that in your packet, but for HIPAA reasons, probably don't want to mention a whole lot more. So
okay.
If you have any questions, let me know.
I move we approve that unpaid medical leave.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Policy actions.
Yeah, we have policy JHE, which is excessive absence policy. I'm recommending to the board that this policy be rescinded. And the reason that I'm requesting that is that a while back, last fall, or I think it was, we approved a new attendance policy. And in the new attendance policy, which is JE, the excessive absence policy is included in that.
Oh, okay.
And the current excessive absence policy is, for some reason we missed rescinding it then, but it is inaccurate. It has things in it that are no longer according to the truancy laws. So since JHE is included in JE, our regular attendance policy, I'm recommending the board rescind policy JHE, which is excessive absence.
Okay. I would move that we rescind it.
Second. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have a request for overnight travel.
Okay, and I'm handling this for Heidi Hill. Heidi is the music teacher here at Santa Fe Junior High. Heidi is requesting to take four students to the State Honor Choir program, which is it's actually in Provo and Salt Lake. Provo on the 22nd, Salt Lake on the 23rd. It was going to be an overnight trip. It's changed now to two separate trips because on Saturday they don't start until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh.
So what she would like to do is have approved to go in on the 22nd to Provo, where they will practice. They will work on their music together, go through that process, and then they will return Saturday afternoon to Salt Lake City for more training and singing and a concert on Saturday evening. And she has four students. I'm trying to see if it's somewhere in Salt Lake, but it doesn't. It just says Salt Lake City. This is
usually
a Bravenal. That's usually where they've had it.
Yeah.
But this is a trip that they take every year, but we have not approved it as ongoing up to this point, and so it's back to the board again this year.
So it's just Santa Fe, right?
Yes. What we have with Canyon View is they missed the deadline in getting registered, and we have a very apologetic teacher, but it was not able to register the kids late. We tried, but they wouldn't do it late. So this year we just have the four from Santa Fe.
I move that we approve that trip.
I'll second that.
I had a question. Would it be possible to approve it in an ongoing status? I mean, it's not something we're ever going
to do. It is. It's done annually. I think it would be good if we did that. Typically, when you approve something ongoing, you request that someone come and report on it and how it went and what they did, their activities, and at least submit, required them to submit an agenda and where it is and how many are going and how many chaperones. And in this case, with the four, it's just Heidi that's going in. although she does have another, have a parent that would accompany them if necessary.
Okay.
So with that, I don't have a problem with it being proved ongoing as long as we have an agenda and what's the word?
Itinerary.
Itinerary, thank you.
Well, I would love if they would come in and
report
more
but
often.
Can we change that to ongoing without having it on the agenda as such?
Yes, you can, because it's on the agenda for approval, and all you'd have to
this.
Do,
okay.
You'd just be adding
okay.
That it's approved and that it would be approved ongoing with an itinerary and then encourage a report from them later on.
I just brought it up as a question. We don't have to do it. I just,
but
how
I
do you,
it
how
be
do you
more
feel
efficient.
About it? It seems more efficient
well.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think so?
I
Julie?
Do. Thank you.
All right. Do you want to amend
your
motion?
Make that, yes. I'll make that motion include that.
Second the amendment.
That.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we have another request for Emory High Automotive Program. There we are.
So I have 5 students that want to go to a competition in Hobbs, New Mexico. In the past, Kava has taken them down there. Mike Kava has taken them down there. What it would end up being is leaving February 1st, returning February 6th. 5 students. I've talked with Russ Goodrich over at USU Eastern, and he's going to work on getting transportation for it. I haven't got that locked down yet, but Kava usually took a van down there, so that's about the gist of what I'm trying to get across, I guess. So.
This is actually a junior college competition, is that correct?
Yeah, it's at a junior college,
okay.
But high school students compete in it too,
mm-hmm.
So it's secondary and post-secondary. So.
But it's the same as it's been.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Same
event. So we have enough chaperones and everything?
So.
How many students did you say, Tanner?
5.
Okay.
So we're good.
Yeah.
All boys?
Yep.
Good question.
Gotta get some girls in these boy classes, though.
Then you'd be more than 1 second.
Well, yeah, but... It's okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's worthwhile. I move that we approve that trip.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay,
any
can
opposed?
I make a comment?
Yeah.
Now that you've approved that, I just want to commend Chandler for the work he's doing with those auto students at Emory High. I get really good reports, Chandler, about
super.
What's going on there and the kinds of things you're doing and having those kids tear those engines down, put them back together, and just a hands-on
good.
Kind of activities and just get nothing but good reports on what you're doing and appreciate that and hope you're working hard to get licensed and at least move in a direction where we can really build and continue a good program. Now, thank you. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Yeah, thank you.
It's the same Chandler Peacock I remember in elementary school.
Yeah, probably. Hey,
probably taller.
You're not old enough to remember teaching his dad, though.
No.
Like
no.
I am.
All right. Wow.
I had to tell him some stories
yeah,
sometimes.
All right. Approval of the swimming pool memorandum of understanding addendum.
Okay.
Say that fast.
Yeah.
As you recall, when the aquatic center was built, the taxpayers, the school district, owned property there and donated the property for the aquatic center, and we had an agreement worked out then about the use of the aquatic center for swim team, Emory High, but also school use on a regular basis during the year. So many hours for secondary and a couple of times a year, days a year for elementary, and we had worked out all the details of the things and we signed the memorandum, and then as we got into it we found there were some things that were missing and we met and we agreed on some things, but it was never put in the MOU. And now we have an entirely new county commission and none of them were involved in development of that agreement, and Commissioner Brady approached me and they had some questions about the use of the pool, And we went through those, and it was mostly for clarification, but at some point we agreed that we probably needed an addendum. We didn't need to rewrite the whole memorandum, but we needed an addendum to cover the kinds of things that were not clear in the original memorandum of understanding. Now, I have to tell you, what is on here is the things that we had agreed to as we worked through the issues that we had, that we found as we went along. But there's one major change that really surprised me in a way, but pleased me very much, and that was the county commission. Up till now, the agreement was that with use of the pool, that schools would need to pay the cost of the salaries for the lifeguards,
mm-hmm.
while particularly during those elementary days that were there, the secondary hours that are non-swim team kinds of things, they had to pay, any depending on the number of students and length. Most of the elementary schools I know were paying about $90 for the day to pay for lifeguards, and the county commission has waived that. And great. we've made that part of this addendum. So I really highly recommend the board approve this addendum to the original memorandum of understanding. If you have any questions, I'll try to address them. But I appreciate the county commission's willingness to work with us on almost every aspect here. They were concerned about one thing particularly, and it's in the original agreement. And it may be repeated here, but the schedules or the activities at the Aquatic Center are to be scheduled through the principal. One of the problems they had particularly well with schools is that teachers were calling and trying to schedule. At secondary schools, it was departments or clubs and organizations, and they really didn't know how to track that.
Okay.
So they really want the principal to be the one to schedule those days in the Aquatic Center, and that really was already in there, but we clarified that with them. I would recommend the board approve this addendum.
I have one question.
Yes.
On number three, each secondary school may use the Aquatic Center 12 hours per year.
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, that's 12 hours that each secondary school can schedule the pool for a club to go over there and use it for an activity or a department, or it doesn't include things like the swim team, or even part of the memorandum of understanding is that it can be part of a unit for PE class. They can go over there, and that's not what this is.
Okay.
Those are all separate. This is for just general use of the pool as a reward or an activity or...
So Marie just said, like, when the physics classes go over there with their paper boats?
Yeah, that could be part of it.
We have a pool party every homecoming during the week. It's an after-school activity.
The elementary schedule the day, and then they go in different classes at different times, so it's pretty cut and dry on their part. But secondary have so many different groups, and we decided to go with hours rather than days.
Does this include the graduation party?
Graduation
no.
party is not sponsored by
okay.
the school.
Okay.
It's sponsored generally by the, it used to be Governor's Youth Council. Now it will start out Four Corners Mental Health, and there was the peer helpers, and then it was the Governor's Youth Council, and
okay.
now it's
okay,
the
but it's separate.
This is the online party thing.
Youth Coalition or something.
Well, Youth Coalition is a school.
It is now,
school.
Yeah. But
and
this
they
is
will not be sponsored.
This is through Four Corners.
They'll be volunteering to help.
Yeah, they schedule that separately with the Aquatic
okay.
Center, which we appreciate very much.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay, I was just curious because that three secondary schools, that's 4 hours apiece.
No,
like
it's 12. It's 12
oh,
hours
12
for each
per
school.
School. Okay.
Each
we have
school.
Four.
I thought
four,
four hours
schools.
Isn't
no.
very much, Kevin. Give a little bit more than that. Okay. Gotcha.
I move we say thank you and approve that addendum to the memorandum of understanding.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. A big thanks to the county commission for that. That's mm-hmm. they went above and beyond. We appreciate it. Okay. Consideration for bids for the new school buses. Is that Roger?
I'll
is he
start.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. You started.
I actually was gonna. Roger put this together, and I was gonna he wanted to apologize for not being here because he had a city council meeting, but then I looked and he's here.
You say, I saw him walk in the back.
Somehow, you worked your way out of that.
They may have impeached him at the first of the meeting.
No, because one of his city councilmen's not there if they're doing it.
Well, Roger has gathered bids from Bryson's for two school buses. And just as a general comment, when we get bids from Bryson's, they are on a state contract, meaning that we don't have to get other competitive bids because that's already been done through a competitive process. And so the two bids that we have received, one is for a rear engine bus that has compartments underneath for storing luggage or other things. The other is for a forward engine bus. The rear engine is $131,326. The forward engine is $115,330. These are about 2% higher than last year's bids, which I guess in the scope of things is good. They've been about 10% for a few years. So just to give you a kind of a basis of how much they've gone up. Roger, do you want to talk about the recommendation of getting one of each and the reasons behind that? Any comments you want to make on that?
I thought as we took a special bus to Green River last year, and that bus is getting to the point I don't trust it. And so our thought is we will take the pusher bus that we purchased this year after we've run it for a year and worked all the kinks out of it. Next year we would take the one we purchased this year to Green River. So that's why we wanted to purchase a pusher bus to stay in Cassadale.
Next school year?
Yes.
There does seem to be a demand for the bus with the luggage
compartments
area underneath.
Okay.
So
it's really handy for sports trips and band and everything else.
And I believe this was our, we talked about doing the five every 6 years thing. I believe this was our last year of getting two, and then next year we'd be looking at that.
Okay.
That other.
Yep.
Just to update you on where we were with that. And so I would like to present the recommendation that we purchase one of each of those two types of buses.
I make a motion that we purchase these two buses.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. $245,000.
Just like that.
Wow. Cost so much as a picket.
Seems like Dodge Ram.
All right. I lost my agenda. Okay, that's done. Approval of water share leases for 2016. Is that you, Jared?
It is. I've given you a summary of my thoughts on that. The only change from last year is that we again donated two shares from the Cottonwood Creek to Cassadale City for the home that we build with the construction program. And so other than that, I want to recommend that we make the same arrangements as we have in prior years. And I've included rates on that that cover the assessments, like for Huntington and Cleveland. They pay enough per share to cover our assessment for those water shares each year. Do you have any questions on that?
Well, I make a motion that we go ahead and do it as we've done in the past.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Now we have the principal's report. Mr. Meacham.
Thank you.
Is it Meacham or Meacham?
First, I'd like to welcome you to our school. We love our school. We're pretty excited about it. We are doing some great things. We have great students who've been very involved in a lot of activities. Before I get going, I'd like to turn a little time over to my school counselor, Lucy Robinson, with a brief report on her duties.
She
She must be pretty important because the biggest sign out in the hall says counselor.
She's extremely important to me.
The people in this evening. This is just the report that I hand out when you were at Emory High. You did, we did the approval of it. So there's nothing that I need approved. I just like you to have what's happening at our school. So the first page just is a quick overview of things that are going on with college and career readiness plans, data projects, the guidance curriculum, intervention and prevention, all of which are part of the counseling program from the state. If you look back through about on the third page, that will have my CCR number, my college and career readiness plan numbers for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. They just show 100% of our students received one, and then the number of parents that were there, 7th grade, 85%, 8th grade, 95%, and 9th grade, 89%. So and they're given multiple opportunities to try to get a parent to come. So between calling a lot of different things. The last page is just my data project from the previous year. This year's data project, it was on studies habits and working with students with their studies skills and study habits. This year's, I've drawn it back to just the 7th grade. We're trying to increase the number of students, or decrease the number of students who are receiving failing grades in 7th grade, change up how they do things back and start with this in 7th grade, hoping that that will continue 8th and 9th grade. And so that's also my flow for my project and my school this year. So you'll get a report on that one next year. But that is all I have. If you have questions, you can ask. Otherwise, pretty much that's what I need.
Okay.
Robson does amazing things here for our students. She is a serious help in every way, shape, and form. As I said, our students have been involved in a lot of great things, but one of the proudest things I've seen our students do, and something that I promised them personally that I would follow up on when we had a school board meeting, was we have an annual Veterans Day program each year, and our student council is kind of in charge of it. This year, with the help of Mr. Robinson, Mr. Horrocks, and Mr. Gilbert, we focused on raising funds to support and sponsor an honor flight participant from our county. The person chosen to receive that funding was Mr. Melvin Gilbert from Lawrence, who happens to be Mr. Jarrett Gilbert, our teacher, grandfather. The students engaged in a penny war. If you don't know what that is, it's the more pennies you bring, it counts for you, but you can drop bills or silver coins in that class's bin to count against them. So each class was always in the hole. But in that process, we also received donations from various community entities, including Desert View Credit Union, promised to match anything that our students donated.
Wow.
And our grand total ended up being almost $1,500, which was more than sufficient to send Mr. Gilbert and his escort to Washington, D.C., to the monuments. As part of it, talking to Mr. Gilbert, I learned that Mr. Gilbert Senior, had never received his high school diploma due to the fact that he had enlisted in the Navy prior to his graduation. So as we got ready for the program, I and Lon Huntsman, our student body president, drafted this letter after reviewing the policy in the district and state. And this is just a letter requesting for a honorary veteran's diploma from the Emory School District. Just if you would let me read these last two paragraphs. Mr. Gilbert was drafted and enlisted in the Navy while still in high school and missed the opportunity to receive his diploma along with his peers as he served in the war. We at Sandra Fell Junior High feel it would be a correct and proper expression of appreciation from the entire Emory County community for his service to our country and to our community, for Mr. Gilbert to be awarded an honorary veteran's diploma from the Emory School District. Thank you for your consideration on this matter. If that's approved at a future date on the vote, I would also request that our students be able to be part of that by presenting that to him at our closing program at the end of the year. So our students are involved in a lot of things, from academics to athletics. We have 24 students currently participating.
Are you moving on now?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, let me just make a comment. Mr. Meekum talked to me about this tonight, and I just let him know that you couldn't act on it because it's not on the agenda, so we'll get it on the agenda for next meeting for approval. But it's a great thing. Matter of fact, we've had that policy for probably 8 or 10 years, and I think this is the first time it's been used.
First one I know of.
And I appreciate that. So yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. But
sorry.
We're happy you're looking out for those veterans.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah.
It was a great opportunity. The kids really got in behind it. And when Mr. Gilbert, our teacher, Jarrett, got up and did a bio, honorarium for his grandfather, it was fun to sit and watch those kids.
I have to back up. The very first year that this law was passed, we at Emory High, we had a bunch of people who had served in the military who were veterans that received diplomas at that time. And if any of you around the time, they put lays on their head and they had them come up with one of their grandkids, if they had grandkids there that were graduating.
That's right.
So we did that one time we presented. It was when it was held in the Spartan Center. I remember because my father was one of them. But since then, haven't had any.
Yeah, it's a neat opportunity to recognize.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
These veterans, each Veterans Day program is a wonderful time to see those young people shaking those heroes' hands. It's always touching and always very useful. As I was saying, we do have lots of students involved in a lot of things, everything from national math competitions online to gearing up for spelling bee, geography bee. We have 24 students participating, 24 ninth graders participating in winter activities at the high school level right now. I hope that you had the opportunity to look at our TVs that we've mounted, one by the office, one down in the commons area. That's where I put my announcements, activities, schedules, lunch menus. But the kids also love to see their pictures up there and occasionally videos when we have an activity of them. It's been a real benefit, I think, to our school. I was, just as another side note, I was hoping that Mrs. Johansson would be here, Laurel, because with the retirement of Judge Scott Johansson, I just wanted to, as a principal, administrator, and educator, express my appreciation personally to her and through her to her husband, Judge Johansson, for his support, his mentoring of me as I got to serve with him for 8 years, four at the high school, four here. His guidance was irreplaceable for me as I worked my way through different situations. So I just wanted to publicly thank him for his service to the community and especially to Santa Fe and to myself. But again, welcome, and hopefully we can see you here whenever you'd like. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meekum. I should have mentioned that the reason Laurel isn't here tonight is because she's with her husband. Scott's having a little bit of trouble with the recent procedure he's had, and she felt like she needed to be next to him. So we wanted to make sure that everyone knew that, and we wish the best for them. And thank you, Mr. Meekum. All right. Mr. Black, do you have a report?
Well, I've been trying to think of something fun and exciting in the business office. It's hard.
It would be.
Fun and exciting in numbers.
Yeah. So we've been working on W-2s and 1099s.
Riveting.
How exciting.
I probably should let you know, though, that this is related to our W-2s. But anyway, this year we... have to include all of the medical related costs on employees' W-2s, and it's become a major, major challenge. So we're working through that, and we'll communicate with employees. But
so the money that goes in their HSAs is reported on their W-2.
It's reported on a W-2. Yeah.
Is it taxable income then?
No.
Shouldn't be. That's interesting.
That's what I thought. Why it had to be reported?
It has to be reported.
Interesting.
So
okay.
It's a major change in the W-2 reporting. So
wow.
I probably should let you know that.
Okay.
Capital outlay requests are coming in from principals, so within about a month we should have that ready to present to you. From last year's list, we still do have a handful of projects that weren't completed, and so they will be on our list this year as well to complete. But I always want to compliment our maintenance staff because they're working constantly to keep up and to do the additional capital outlay things. So they do a great job. And that's what I have to report.
Well, thank you, Mr. Black.
Riveting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Superintendent Citrin.
Well, yeah, I could really top that one with the report on the governor's budget proposals in the legislature.
That's bigger numbers.
The legislature does start on the 25th of January, goes through March 10th. There are bills even now being filed by legislators. There was even a bill filed that would limit the number of education bills that can be filed each year. We generally have about 130 to 160 bills, and it keeps us really hopping. There's always, whenever an education bill is passed, there's always policies to be written, things to be changed, and more work to do. But anyway, the governor did release his budget recommendations along with the State Board of Education and also other groups such as the School Board Association, superintendents who have a combined legislative committee that makes, and a delegate assembly of board members who make those recommendations. The governor's budget includes a 4.75% increase in the weighted pupil unit. That's about $130 million. And also the governor is requesting $91 million to fund student growth, separate from the WPU. Sorry to you principals that listened to this yesterday. Try to stay awake. There's always a few groans when we come to the legislative items on our administrative agenda. Anyway, he is also recommending $10 million for at-risk student programs. We used to have an at-risk block grant, and it was completely cut a few years back, which has caused us some real problems. He's recommended $9.5 million for teacher supplies. This is the reimbursement to teachers for money that they pay out of their own pocket. It started out about $3 million, went to $5 million. Last year it was $6 million, and he's recommending a $3.5 million increase in that. $4.4 million to UEN for infrastructure on technology, and $1 billion. For the first 5 years of a 10-year education plan. It says they're a 5-year, and it should be 10 if you'll write that in. It's a 10-year education plan. The first 5 years, he's recommending the legislature, they don't have that much money to appropriate right now, but he's asking them to approve a plan that would put $1 billion into the first 5 years of a 10-year education plan. And so that's his budget recommendation. The State Board of Education is requesting a 2 to 2.5% a 3.5% increase in the weighted pupil unit. It started out at 2%. They were going to recommend a 2 to 2.5% increase in WPU, and then a 2% of funding that would be line itemed into certain programs. And the School Boards Association, Superintendent Association, have recommended that there be a 2.5% increase that would cover just the very basics to break even. For example, Stepan Lane's insurance increases, retirement increases, those kind of things. And as you know, in the past, that all had to come out of any WPU increase, and usually it took more than what they gave on the WPU just to cover those costs. But they're recommending that be funded as well as growth. And then on top of all of that, a 2% increase to attract and retain quality educators for salaries and so forth. And then after that's all funded as a very minimum, then they will talk about recommending things like technology, professional development, and other things that are line items. But they're recommending that they at least meet the 4.5% to 4.75% increase to fund those other things before they start talking about new programs. So that's the difference in those three major budget recommendations. And of course, the way it's been described in the past, and I've relayed that to you before, I've asked the governor Herbert, how important the governor's budget was, and he says, well, typically we send it to the House and Senate, and they throw it in the garbage. And then at the end of the legislature, when they try to figure out how to get the budget balanced and what kind of programs to use, then they pull it back out of the garbage just in case there might be a good idea there. That's how he described it to me. So I don't know.
So
by law, the governor has to propose a budget.
Yeah.
Kirk, the governor's proposal, the at-risk student and the teacher supply and the tech are line item, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're separate line item. They're typically considered one-time funding,
yeah.
Although the technology I understood was ongoing, but the teacher supply is approved every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually one-time money, but the at-risk was intended to be ongoing also. It's to kind of try to replace some of that was taken away about 3 or 4 years ago.
So in his proposal, it's a line item, or it is
on? Well, there are certain line items that are above the line, which are funded. The WPU increases them every year. They stay
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are what's called below the line
right.
or line item, they're only funded. They're ongoing, but they never receive an increase unless they vote on an increase for them.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's what that falls into.
I would guess that this probably falls below the line. It's
okay.
It's $10 million that's ongoing, but it won't automatically increase.
Okay.
It would. That's correct.
Okay.
The other thing, and these are things I've attached to from here on that I've attached to your agenda or your report tonight that I've given you. There's a copy of the new Every Student Succeeds Act. It's an article from Education Week publication that gives a general overview of the new Elementary Secondary Education Act that has just been renewed for the first time in about 10 years, maybe longer. But this is this is the one that replaces No Child Left Behind, that the Congress on the federal level let expire. And it's called ESSA, it's Every Student Succeeds Act. And it supposedly gives more flexibility to the states on how education money is used. But as I read the overview and I read all of the things in there, most of the things in No Child Left Behind are still there. It's just the state gets to write the plan with them in there and decide how they're going to monitor it. There are a couple of things that are not there. One of them is that teachers are no longer required to be highly qualified, and that it sounds like a negative term, but it's not. It was a term that was established at the federal level, which required a teacher, if they're going to be highly qualified to teach in a content area, they had to have a major in that content area. In the state of Utah, you can teach a subject area with a minor in that or an endorsement. But to be highly qualified on a federal level, you have to have a major in that subject area. Now, you look at that in light of rural areas, most of our teachers are teaching anywhere from 2 to 6 or 7 different subjects. They're authorized by the state through endorsements to teach them, but they aren't highly qualified because they don't have a major, which is impossible for rural teachers to do. So I just want to, when I say that they've eliminated the highly qualified thing, it's not a negative thing for Utah. It's just a reality, and our teachers are still extremely qualified, and they are licensed and endorsed and qualified by the state to teach in those subject areas, even if they're not highly qualified. Now, at the elementary level, in the past, the federal law, No Child Left Behind, has required teachers in the elementary schools to be highly qualified, and almost all of, especially if it's a Title I school. In a Title I school, you had to hire highly qualified teachers, and also if you hired a teaching assistant, they had to be either have an associate's degree, if I'm talking about what we typically call aides, but an educational assistant by definition in our district. They had to have an associate's degree or an equivalent, or pass what's called a para-pro exam. So it's like being highly qualified, you couldn't hire them in a Title I school. So anyway, that's just an overview for you to look at and read. That will be implemented in 17-18 for the 16-17 school year. They're still working under the old law in regards to turnaround schools, or schools that are in the bottom 5 or 3% of the state, but everything else is basically out the window until 17-18, when the new state plan has to be submitted to the federal government. And this is only to receive federal funds. It has nothing to do with the state funds. But to receive federal funds, you have to have that plan and have it approved by the federal government, U.S. Department of Education. I've also included a copy that just came out Friday from state school board meeting. It's a copy, an outline of the state office's strategic plan. It's very basic and simple. It's not all the detail, but mostly a summary of their standards and plan that they have for their strategic plan. And the assumption is that any decision they make at the state level with regard to education would have to meet some goal or standard of that strategic plan. I also want to report that at our recent Utah School Boards Association convention in Salt Lake City, Laurel Johansson was recognized for 20 years of service as a member of our local school board. And Sam Singleton was recognized for 16 years of service on the school board.
Wow.
They give recognitions at that state convention to local school board members who have served 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, and 28 and 30 in increments of 4. I know that both Marie and Roy have received 24-year awards in the past. And sorry, Julie, they don't give 4-year or 2-year, but
4 months.
4 months.
But we congratulate Sam and Laurel for that recognition up there. They did have a gentleman there who had 44 years from Rich School District, was it?
Rich or Tinnick?
Tinnick.
42 years.
42 years? Well, then it is an increment of 4. Somewhere they changed the increment.
It was 42.
42
years.
42,
wow.
They must recognize the one that's had the most years or something every year. But, can't imagine serving 42 years, but there's your goal.
Started in high school.
I be old.
Wow.
My last item has, and I certainly don't mean to blindside any of you. I hope you've read your email the last couple of days. If not, there's a letter at the end of my information I've given you tonight. But even though it's a little ways away, I am informing the board it is my intent to retire at the end of my current contract, which would be July 1st. That decision certainly is not an easy one to make. It's one I make with a lot of trepidation, mixed feelings. My reasons have nothing to do with the work of the school district. It has nothing to do with challenges here. It has to do with my own personal agenda, health, and also my sincere belief, beyond personal reasons, which is the major one, is that new ideas, resources, and perceptions are always good. And I think that I've served in the school district for 44 years. And 40 of those years I've been in administration, and the last 19 as the superintendent. I thought about, my children told me that I ought to go for the record, which is two more years. But I felt in honor of Orson Peterson, I would not want to take that away from him. Orson had 20 years. I think it's time for me to stop at 19. My years of service with the school district have been rewarding. They have been challenging, but every challenge that we have worked through and that I have been through and met has only been to my benefit of growth and development. And I want you to know that no matter what contribution anyone feels that I may have made to this job, I am the one who has benefited the most. I have gain more than I could ever imagine in growth and development, in my level of stress. But most of all, I appreciate the opportunity that I had to work with students in my early part of my career. I actually taught for 7 years, 4 full-time and 3 as part-time teacher, part-time principal. I will point out that some of the students I first taught when I started in Emory County are in their mid-50s now. And I recognize at least one of those students who is now a medical doctor in the area who actually had a hand in saving my life. So I guess some rewards come back to help you. And I did not want to get emotional, but I just I appreciate the people that I worked with. And I know I still have 5.5 months, so this is not a, and I'm not dead yet. So. But for those of you who might surprise, I am 65 years old, so it's I'm not 49 like Jed thinks. But I just have appreciated the people that I've worked with. I appreciate board members. You know, board members are heroes. They're heroes as volunteers. I don't know anybody that would do what you do for what you get paid to do that. And it's the ultimate in volunteerism in my mind. And I have had the opportunity to work with outstanding board members, including the current board. The majority of you were here when I was hired, or at least 3 board members. But I've worked with other board members, and I've appreciated every one. I have appreciated so much the administrative team that I've had, and I do have. They're the ones that do the legwork of keeping this school district operating, keeping it moving, implementing those programs that the legislature gives us, implementing those programs that we come across and we feel are important for kids, because it's all about kids. But I certainly want to pay tribute to being the senior employee of the school district, not the oldest, but being employed by Emory School District longer than any other employee right now. I want you to know that I value teachers. And every one of us, from the superintendent and board members through administrators, and support staff and parents, we are all in this to support one thing, and that's what happens every day in every classroom between a teacher and a kid. And everything we do is to support that, because that's where it happens. That's what we're here for. Now, there's plenty of time for me to make speeches, but thank you to all of you. I hope it wasn't a shock to any of you. If I've always said that when change comes, there's always those who are appreciative. There's those who appreciate what you did, and there's those that appreciate that you're going to leave. So it's all about being appreciated. So I just want to say thank you. I'll hopefully have another opportunity in maybe May or June But thank you, but I wanted to make that announcement to give you as board members plenty of time to go through whatever process that you need to do to make sure that this district has a better leader than I have been. And I will work my insides out from now until July 1st to make sure that this work moves forward, and I will not let up, and just make that commitment to you and thank you for your support and the support of all of those that have had the opportunity and blessing to work with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I can go back a few years.
Yes, Sam.
I taught him in high school.
He taught me all 3 years of English in high school, and I was not retained. Back there, they had English 1, 2, 3, 4, and I think I was in that level 3 English for 3 straight years. It wasn't graduated, it's just where you were at. But Sam taught me 3 years of English in high school, in the library.
He was a good student.
Good. Yep. Well, I've served with you the whole 19 years, Kirk, and you have been an outstanding superintendent. We appreciate all of your efforts.
Yes.
Always looking out for children first, which is, you're right, that's what our job is. And there's not words to express how much we appreciate what you've done and look forward to working with you for the next few months.
Thank you.
Want to say anything?
No.
Thank you.
Ditto.
Okay.
That's my report.
All right. Thank you. That was a doozy. Are there any public comments? Okay. I think we need a closed meeting, so.
I move we go into closed meeting.
We have a hearing and also a personnel.
Hearing and personnel.
For hearing and personnel. I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much for coming tonight.